This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to be back. Welcome along to the Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham here for the last week of the European Tour season, closing things out with the DP World Tour Championship. And myself and Mike will, of course, speak about that event in due course. But first of all, I owe you a free lunch.
You do, from a couple of weeks ago.
I do indeed.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie Donaldson, Martin Keimer. I was on Keimer.
You were indeed. And Mark Adsett, our compiler, he's had a little pop at my loving with Jamie Donaldson over the last couple of months. He's emailed his keep to us, which I'll mention later on in the programme, for the Tour Championship, and then suggested he wanted to lay Jamie Donaldson for this week's event.
He wanted to be best price, he said, didn't he? Yeah.
He's not sticking his neck on the line, though, is he, at the moment? I'd like to see some 33-1 there for Jamie Donaldson if he wants to lay that price.
Well, he's only have to lay as big as you want, I suppose, would be his maxim. But yes, nice free lunch, Dave.
I'm planning on going to Philpott's for you, Mike, this week.
Philpott's, okay.
Just as a little special.
Can we have
special.
It tomorrow? I've already eaten.
Oh, today. Yeah, well, tomorrow's fine. Tomorrow's fine. Thank you, first of all, to Mark Walton for filling in last week. Yeah. He covered the Mayakoba event with you, Mike, and of course the event on the European Tour in Turkey as well.
Yeah, I picked the winners of both events.
Did you really get the winners of both?
Yeah. You didn't listen, did you? No, we weren't that near, really. No one that close. Following on from Bubba the week before, but we didn't get much better than top 20, I don't think. So very moderate.
What about Brooks Koepka's performance? Because it's all right to say it's his watershed moment. I know a lot of people on Twitter suggesting that the commentators didn't know who he was and were suggesting this was the first time he'd really been seen on the big screens. But it was a watershed moment for him. First win on either of the major tours.
Yep.
Although he'd showcased his ability with consistent top finishes on both the European Tour and the PGA Tour, he hadn't won an event.
He hadn't won.
Last week was his first win, and big moment for Koepka.
Yeah, he hadn't won, but he'd had some good finishes this year, hadn't he? So I don't know where they were coming from if they hadn't any knowledge of him. He went very close in Crans Saucier in the European Masters, didn't he? And let's not forget he was fourth in the US Open this year, wasn't he? So Brooks Koepka hits it a mile, and now he's got one under his belt. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with, I reckon, him and Peter Uline, who are very good buddies. A couple of Americans who were on the European Tour and learning a lot about different courses and different ways of playing, I think. It'll stand them in good stead that he's he was quite moved, I think, by his win. He was, you know, it meant a lot to him. You could tell his voice was a little bit emotional in the post-event interview, but he's one to watch for the next few years, I think.
Absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly. Ian Poulter will feel aggrieved that he played so poorly in the third round. It will be one that got away for Poulter. He'll be looking to make amends this week. That one shot that really stood out, I didn't see much of either event this week, Mike, but the one shot that stood out was that hybrid to 13, which set up the eagle on it in the final round. Had to take some off the hybrid, just 260-odd yards, and choked down on that hybrid, and it was a great shot and set up that eagle putt, which set him on his way as well.
I'm
on that
same
when
he, if it's less than 280, I need to take a bit off my hybrid, you know.
I need about three hybrids to 280 yards. So that was an absolute belter.
It's not fair, is it, really?
It's not right, is it? It's not right. Whenever I see these golfers playing top-class golf and hitting the ball a country mile off the tee, I think, I wish I could do that.
Yeah, why can't I do that?
Why can't I do that? And you always
I can, but it takes five goes.
Precisely, and in your mind you're always thinking, I'd love to be able to replicate that swing. It seems so easy, but obviously
he's a player, though, Dave, isn't he? I like Koepka now. He's got that winny. Let's say it wasn't very resilient under pressure, and in a few of the times he knocked on the door, but now he's got over the line. I would expect him to be long before he wins again.
No, I think his second victory will be coming pretty quickly. Yeah. In the other event, the Mayakoba event. Charlie Hoffman won, closed with a 5-under-66.
It's not proving easy to pick winners on the USPGA Tour. I'm glad it's having a break. There's been all kinds of crazy winners on there, hasn't there?
Yeah, he's a bit of a journeyman, and that's fit in with the recent trend of Mayakoba winners to a certain
extent.
I mean,
he's a past winner on tour, let's be fair, but unlike some of the recent winners who've been very hard to find, but Hoffman wasn't on my list, I have to be honest.
He wouldn't have been on my list either. You look at his strike rate. It was his third career victory.
Yeah, third win, yeah.
But he'd gone 105 starts between his first and second win, and this time went 108 starts between his second and third win. So that just shows you not only how difficult it is to win on the PGA Tour, but how tough it is to go for Charlie Hoffman in that sort of circumstance.
I'm waiting on the trends. I'm waiting for him to play 106 events, and then we'll back him. His next 106 events. It'll take 3 years, so we better remember, you know.
Precisely. Just wait 100 events and then
keep
get
an eye
on him.
Yeah,
precisely. Mm. Danny Lee will be disappointed. He made 7 straight birdies, didn't he, on the front nine?
I know
you tweeted about him on Sunday night, didn't you?
Yeah, just in response to someone just asking who I thought would go well. I just thought that he was probably someone who each way had a chance, and he did get placed, so I didn't back him personally, but it wasn't the most stellar leaderboard, was it, in that event in the closing round or two. So well done to Charlie Hoffman, though.
Let's get stuck into
this week.
At least
he's got a decent haircut now.
Absolutely. Let's get stuck into this week. The DP World Tour Championship, the final event on the European Tour this season, and Rory McIlroy is back in action. He's 5-1 favourite. Henrik Stenson 8-1. Justin Rose is 14s. Ian Poulter in the market at 16-1. Sergio Garcia 18-1. Brooks Koepka and Victor Dubuisson both 20s. It's 22-1 Lee Westwood, 25-1 Jamie Donaldson and Martin Kaymer, and 28-1 and bigger the remainder. The tournament has been played at the Earth Course in Dubai since its inception in 2009. It's a Greg Norman design, which measures 7,706 yards. So length here, Mike, is patently a factor. We've seen in the previous 5 years, though, it's possible to contend if you're not a bomber.
Definitely.
Around this golf course. But if you're not a bomber, you need to be in control of every other facet of your game. Those players that have contended, the likes of Ian Poulter and Juuse Lauten in the past, because they are not the longest players off the tee, they've either putted extremely well or found a ton of greens in regulation. So I think if you're not a bomber, if you're not a big hitter, you need to be in control of your short game to contend around this golf course.
Yeah, Kuros has won here, and a couple of Rory obviously hits it a long way, Stenson. Long hitting is important, I guess, to a degree, but more important is that you've got to score well, because 25 under won this last year, and it's around the 20 under mark probably pretty much every time it's been played. So yeah, it's about getting a good score and not having any mess up rounds. I guess Ian Poulter should have won last week if it wasn't for that 75 in the third round. He'd have won. You can't afford that in these events when you're going to have to go 20 under to win. They've all got to be pretty decent, solid rounds, haven't they?
Easy pickings, isn't it, really, for these players? It's a heavily bunkered golf course, many elevation changes throughout the 18 holes, but if it's benign, it can be picked apart. And as you've mentioned, scoring has ranged from 14 under when Carlson won, a little bit of an anomaly there, really, to Stenson's total of 25 under par. And they tried to toughen up the golf course. It didn't work. It's not worked the last 2 years. I remember that finish of McIlroy's a couple of years ago, Mike, where he made 5 birdies to finish off.
To deprive Rose.
Oh, that was absolutely sensational. One of the best finishers ever on the European Tour.
Very good.
And he's already sealed that race to Dubai, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's decent.
He's 2 majors, won the BMW PGA and won the WGC. So as far as the overall feel of the European Tour is concerned, he's done it. He deserves to have it sealed at this point as well.
Of course he does. It shouldn't be about just winning one event at the end of the year, should it? He's had a phenomenal year and continues to be the top player in the world.
Picks then?
Yeah, 2 picks. Do you know what? I very nearly picked him.
McIlroy. Yeah, we'll talk about the leading contenders in due course, but McIlroy.
5-1.
5-1. Fair, isn't it?
What are his form figures? Let me have a look here. They're ridiculous on this course, aren't they? He's gone 3rd, 5th, 11th, 1st, 5th, So in four of the last 5 years, he's been in the top five. So yeah, you're getting each way money in four of those 5 years, and this year he's even money to do it. So those people who like that kind of stuff will be saying he's heavily odds on to be placed. And you've got a free win bet. Doesn't always work like that, but I wouldn't put anyone off who wanted to go each way big on him and say, I'm confident he'll be in the five and I'll have a free win bet. Mm. You know, and it could work out like that as well. I must admit he was on my mind. I did think about just picking him for this event because he does play the course so well.
Yeah.
I'm not that bothered about the break. I think that'll reinvigorate him.
Do you think so?
Yeah,
because that's
so.
The only imponderable, really, isn't it? The fact that he's had 6 weeks off since his second in the Dunhill Links, and he's had the ongoing court case to maybe take his mind off his game in the last month as well.
6 weeks is not that long.
No, it's not.
It's not 6 months, and he was second on his last outing, so it's not like he was playing dreadfully. So I don't suppose he's been practicing every day of that 6 weeks, but he's going to want to turn up here and finish his season in style, I would think. So I expect him to play well.
He's a bit of a gym bunny nowadays as well, isn't he? So obviously yep. He'll be staying fit in that period.
Yeah, I
agree with you wholeheartedly. I think 5-1 more than fair.
Fair price, that, for me. And in this, what, how many runners are there?
60. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd expect him to be in the five, you know. I absolutely would. So yeah, I wouldn't put anyone off 5-1 each way. You can play it win only if you like, but certainly four of the last 5 years, you'd have got each way return.
I'll let you tee off then, because I've just got one pick in the event.
Okay, well, Swedes have won this event a couple of times in its 5 years. It's been here in the Jumeirah Golf Estates course. So I'm going for Jonas Blixt as my first pick.
Yeah, he's my only selection.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he is. So we've matched that.
I picked him last week, you know.
Oh, did you?
I did. Go on. He's your only pick.
He might as well talk about my only pick.
Make you work for you.
Yeah.
Dinner.
His yearly stats on the European Tour suggest he's not the longest off the tee, which was, at the time of looking at the event, was a slight reservation. Mm. I think the stats are misleading, though. I think he's increased his firepower over the last 12 months.
Definitely.
Blixt. He ranked 16th in the statistic in driving distance when finishing 25th in Turkey last week.
Yep.
And was 13th in driving distance when 12th here last year.
Yeah, that's on his debut, isn't it?
It's long enough, definitely. I like the fact that you can get away with being wayward off the tee at this venue, because it's a relatively speaking new course. The rough's not grown, and I think he needs a wide open venue to be at his best, Blix, because he's not accurate off the tee by any stretch of the imagination. Mm. Putting's going to be so crucial this week. That's what he does best, Blix. One of the best putters in the world.
Yep.
And I can't see much downside to putting him up at 66-1, given the way he can score. He's streaky, definitely. He impressed me immensely at the match play last month, ticking over nicely subsequently with 13th place finish at the CIMB Classic, followed by the 14th in the HSBC Champions event and the 25th place finish in Turkey last week. So I think he's, as you often say, bubbling under nicely, Mike. And I like 66-1 on Jonas Blixt.
Can't add any more to that, Dave. Very good putter, top 20 on all the putting stats on the European Tour. Go on, Jonas. Let me down a little bit last week. I was hoping for better than 25th.
Yeah.
He never caught fire,
a little bit disappointing, but he comes in
a little bit
slightly under the radar here, doesn't he?
I'm talking about disappointing last week, Dave. My other pick is another fella I picked last week, and another Swede. Robert Karlsson is my second pick. He just never got going at all last week. Finished about 400 or 500 or something like that for 46th place. But I'd been bubbling under, as we like to say, before that with 28th KLM, 41st Wales, 14th in the Alfred Dunhill, and 58th in Portugal, and 16th in BMW. So some decent finishes amongst some average ones there, I guess. So I'm hoping this is a decent one this week on a course where he won in 2010. Plays quite well in the Middle East in these tracks. Has won in Qatar as well as this very event in the past. Was 8th in Abu Dhabi earlier this season. So I'm hoping that Carlson, who's had a very good year with the flat stick himself, top 20s or thereabouts for putts and greens in regulation and putts per round on the European Tour. He was 80s actually originally, but a little clip into 66. But I still think 66-1 for a pass winner in this 60-runner field strikes me as a bit of each-way value.
Yeah, I like that. 66-1 Robert Carlson. So a couple of sporting picks, both at 66 as Blixton and Carlson. We've talked about McIlroy at 5-1. Henrik Stenson 8-1.
Well, he won here last year and came with a bit of a wet sail at the weekend to finish. Was he third in the end? Yeah, third. So he definitely likes the course. He's in good form. Does he still live here in Dubai?
I'm not sure where he lives anymore.
Yeah, but he's. I'm hoping that a Swede wins it, but not him.
Yes, I agree with you. 8-1 Stenson. Just no win in 2014. Last year he came into this event having won the FedEx. Just maybe, well, definitely in better form last year. And
definitely, yeah.
What wasn't a much shorter price last year, so I can leave him at that sort of price.
I can leave him, dear, because he never really threatened to win at the weekend either, did he? Just finished quite well.
Keeps doing that, and missed a lot of short putts as well, didn't he, last week?
Can't afford to do that here, can you? Need to be 20 under. You'd have to be 20, I reckon.
14-1 Justin Rose.
Did play very well here last year, though, didn't he?
Did,
to be fair.
Did play very well here
last
year.
Just to caveat that. Justin Rose, yeah, another one. Well, all the good players seem to play well here. Second and the 10th, the last two outings here. But didn't play out that well last time out, did he?
No, he was poor in China. So I can leave him. I think Ian Poulter's the one that I think's underpriced. I think 16-1 on Poulter. I know he's had a couple of runner-up finishes here, but I'm not sure this course is tailor-made for Poulter. And I think for a guy that doesn't win often, 16-1 short on Poulter. Same comments maybe apply to Garcia as well. He's gone off the boil, hasn't he, Garcia? 18-1.
Yeah, naughty step. He's on the naughty step. Doesn't win often enough, does he, Sergio? When it matters, he's obviously very, very talented. Poulter, I think you'd have been a little harsh on him because he's got three top tens in his last five finishes here, including two runner-up places. It's the price, isn't it, really? 16s is the thing. He will be ruining that five-foot miss putt on Sunday, won't he?
He will indeed. Who came closest for you then, Mike?
Closest was probably Brandon Grace, was on my mind. I think he's... He was sixth here in 2012 and he was playing well. Top 20s on his last two outings. In fact, very nearly top 20s in his last four. A couple of, very solid around that mark at the moment. He's double carpet at 66-1 as well, isn't he, I think?
He's
just on my mind as someone who's finishing the season in fine form. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him go pretty well in the South African events over the winter. Other than that, no, they're the two that I have picked are a little bit speculative, but I'm going to go for them because there wasn't anyone else that jumped out. I looked at the likes of Oosthuizen, the two South Africans, Oosthuizen and Schwartzel, particularly Oosthuizen. Schwartzel, he might be on the naughty step as well. You know, he doesn't win as often as he should.
He's been in very average form.
Very average form in the last few weeks. Yeah.
I know he's got a fantastic game, Schwartzel, and he's a Masters winner. But I'm not convinced by Schwartzel.
What about you, really, Dave? Anyone else for you?
Yeah, I liked Oosthuizen a lot, and I nearly went for him. He's 33-1. I can see him playing very well this week. The back apparently is always a concern, but it's not bothering him at the moment. But he's sixth here in 2011, fifth in 2012, played all 5 years at the venue, so got lots of experience, and comes into this in good form as well. Tied sixth at the Alfred Dunhill, 14th at the HSBC Champions, and he's the keep for compiler Mark Ad said this week as well. He's the one that he wants to keep. Louis Oosthuizen. Others on my mind. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Brooks Koepka went back-to-back. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. I think this course is absolutely tailor-made for him. Hits it a mile off the tee, putted very strongly last week. He's great with his long irons. He'll eat those par fives up. I actually think 20s is fair. I think people will debate whether it is or not. But this guy will be... he'll be top 10 in the world this time next year. So I think 20s is reasonably fair. Another couple... It would be remiss of me not to mention Stephen Gallagher.
Right, yeah.
Who's 66-1. He's won twice in the desert, hasn't he? Back-to-back in Dubai. And he played good golf last week, you know. Drove the ball very well in Turkey. Found lots of greens, but didn't get the ball close enough to the hole. And because of that, his putting statistics, slightly misleading, I think. And Alex Levy, the only other one on my mind, really, at 33-1. Following is that win in Portugal, had that collapse, obviously, that much publicised collapse. But he's maintaining his form well at the moment, Levy. So those names closest for me.
Those were the guys on your mind, were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was it. That was it for me. Luke Donald has got very good course form, but just isn't quite. Don't know what he needs. He's just not quite getting there at the moment, is he?
He's speaking positively. He's made the switch from Chuck Cook back to Pat Goss, hasn't he, recently?
Has he?
Because tried a year with Chuck Cook to maybe work on facets of his game that he thought needed improving, the length off the tee and long iron play. But now he's stated in the press he's gone back to Pat Goss to work on what he did well before. So wedge game and putting. He's doing a lot of work from 150 yards in, apparently. So you want to see an upturn in form from Luke Donald, because obviously...
Good player.
Yeah, fantastic player and great ambassador for the game as well. So hopefully he'll come back.
Third, fifth on his last three outings here. So, if he does get... if he is in form this week, he could feature. So, yeah, it's a great end to the season. Obviously, the main prize is done and dusted, with Rory quite rightly claiming that. But it'll be interesting to see whether he can perform at his best given the six-week break. I suspect he will. We'll see.
Just before we close off and round up, I want to talk about Golf Twitter Tipster as well before we finish. And what's been your highlight of this golfing season? Because we're coming towards the end of the season. Obviously, we could have a few special podcasts towards the end of the year.
This is our last weekly one, isn't
it?
Yeah,
this is
definitely
our last weekly one. I know
we might do a special or two, might we?
We might do Sun City Week, perhaps.
And then we'll start back with the weekly ones once the US Tour gets going in Hawaii again, yeah?
Yeah, in the Hyundai. What's been your abiding memory of this 2014 season, be it on the European Tour or the PGA Tour?
My abiding memory, Dave. What, in terms of the golf on my bets? I mean, you've got to say that Rory McIlroy has been the dominant feature of the second half of the season. I particularly myself enjoy Bubba winning the Masters and winning again. He's becoming my favourite player, actually, is old Bubba. I'd say Rory's clear emergence as the top player in the world, as predicted in last year's end of year. But do you remember? I said he'd win two majors.
I do remember.
I don't get much right, so I like to remind people when I do.
That was a 20-1 shot you bet, wasn't it?
Bad day, that. Not a huge bet, but a little bit of fun. And he did. He won two majors, didn't he?
Would you be on him to win another couple next year?
Yes. Yeah, but I won't get 20-1.
No, you won't get 20-1, unfortunately.
I think he'd win the Masters next year. He's due a Masters.
Yeah.
And that will be... There'll be a hell of a lot of hype then, won't there? So, you know, once he wins that, oh my God, it'll be cracking on nicely, won't it?
Oh, it will. I think my favourite, from a betting perspective, was Martin Kaymer. I think his win at Pinehurst, the way he just wielded that putter from 30 yards off the green, because his chipping has been a problem, I think, and he just putted everything that week. Obviously, with those shaved banks, he could afford to do that on that sand belty course.
He's played so well there, didn't he? You just thought, God, he's going to he's going to win everything, and he didn't really kick on from that, did he? He obviously won at Sawgrass as well, didn't he? He had a great year, but I expect Kaymer to do quite well next year. But Rory could easily win a couple of majors next year. I think that'd be if I was doing my spread, that'd be two majors for Rory.
Yeah,
I don't know which two, Masters and US Open.
We might have to have a little look at the World Challenge, because Tiger will be back as well. Because
We could incorporate a preview of 2015 in that. We'll almost certainly do a bit more podding. It just won't be every week.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to seeing Woods back, because if Woods it's not, in all likelihood, it's not going to happen now. You want to see him get back to his best, and we're not going to see the Woods of 2000 again.
No.
But something like his best, so him and McIlroy can have a few duels in major championships. That's what I want to see.
He needs to get cracking if he's going to catch Nicholas. It's looking tricky with the injuries, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you keep missing them, you're not going to win them, are you, no matter what happens? So, stating the obvious, but he just isn't playing enough majors, is he, let alone winning them? He's missing a hell of a lot of them. But if he gets his body right, his mind should still be strong enough. He could still contend, for sure. I wouldn't rule him out just yet, but it's got to happen soon.
He's got to come back, hasn't he? He's just got to come back soon and be fully fit. Hopefully he will be. Golf Twitter Tipster then, Mike.
Oh, yes.
First of all, thanks to Sean and Paul for running this competition.
Sterling
throughout
work
the year.
All year, yeah. This is the last week, isn't it?
It is. It's nice to have the Twitter community involved. And Sam is leading the way at Eat Value if you want to follow Sam on Twitter. Plus £342.65. Got some really...
Not bad.
Really good totals in there this year.
Plus £342, hell of an achievement, that, isn't it?
It is. Best year ever for us in this golf Twitter tipster.
We're doing
well,
all right, aren't we, ourselves?
8th and 11th, respectively. So doing pretty well in this. But Sam, it's going to be tough.
Who's the top five, Dave? Read out the top five.
Top five, Atty Value, who is Sam, £342 and a few pennies. Pete the Bet, £267.47. @_Corto_boy, Mark Healy.
Oh, yeah, we know Mark, yeah.
+£249.85.
Yeah.
@DGenix70, Georgie, £232. And @CraddockJohn, £214. So they're trying to chase Sam down later on.
Fair play to all those guys. To be over £200 up over the season is pound for pound. It's really
with pound each way states, that is
amazing.
Good going.
Pound each way states, yeah, fantastic. What are we? We're about 100. What are you? 191 up, and I'm 156. Oh, I need a winner to beat you, do I?
Which would be nice. You need to be Robert Carlton. It needs to be Robert Carlton, doesn't it?
Come on, Bobby boy.
Yeah, so follow that at Golf Twit Tipster, and it's online at golftwittertipster.co.uk as well. So great year, and Sam,
good luck.
Looking
so
for that.
Sorry, how much? So there's about 80 quid in it, is there, roughly?
Roughly. So it needs a big week.
You need an 80 to a winner.
Those chasing
really.
Sam needs a big week. And historically, this event has been good for the fancied runners, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Kairos aside.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been good for the fancied runners. Let's recap the selections then for this week for the DP World Tour Championship, Mike.
Well, we've both gone for Jonas Blix, haven't we?
We have.
At 66 to 1. A point each way for me.
That's it, same.
And I'll have a point each way on Robert Carlson at 66s as well.
Who's the player you don't want to win?
Brandon Grace.
Mine would be, it's Brooks, you know, Brooks Koepka. Would be the man I don't want to win this week. Thank you for listening to the podcast about 2014.
Thank you for listening to 2014 indeed. And we will tweet when we're doing our specials, but we won't be here every week. You have to keep an eye on Twitter, at MGrenham and at D. Kellner, when we'll tell you when we're doing them.
Yeah, we will.
We don't want to be doing these Aussie events, so we don't know the players well enough, do we, Dave?
No, precisely. So that's it for this golfing season. We will be back shortly. Do follow us on Twitter, and I'll tweet when the golf podcast, and Mike will as well, when the golf podcast goes out each and every week. It's been a pleasure, folks. Thank you for listening to us blather on throughout 2014. And we'll be back very, very shortly. Speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.